Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Don't Blame Me. We are an advice podcast. We are a call-in advice show where, oh my God, there's a squirrel. So sorry. It's, if you're watching the video, you can see me get distracted by a squirrel on one of the power lines. So on our show, we cover everything about advice, everything in between. We don't necessarily give financial advice or science. I mean, yes, science is not advice. Actually, we do give COVID-related advice, as in fuck inside. We are not professionals in anything except being cunts and badass bitches. And we're giving everything from our own experience. So our own life has given us these tools and
our own love.
And, you know,
light.
We just so happen to kind of subscribe to more of the tough love sort of belief system. Mm-hmm. It's how we give advice to each other, how we give advice to our other friends. We talk to this podcast. We're all friends here. We're that kind of friend who gives you the advice you might not necessarily like want to hear, but it's the one you go to when you like actually need to stop fucking that guy that you really should stop fucking. Mm-hmm. And you go to her and then she's like, don't be a dumb bitch. We're here to tell you to not be a dumb bitch. But we're also here to hype you up when you're being a dumb bitch if you want to continue being a dumb bitch.
Yeah, if you like live in the messiness of being a dumb bitch, okay, and we're going to tell you what not to do. But like, do you, girl?
You do you. As long as your messiness is not messy to other people, as long as you're like your contained mess, mm-hmm. like you're a self mess.
Self-contained mess.
A self-contained mess. Then you're fine. So if you want to call in for an upcoming episode, you can leave us a voicemail at 310-694-0976. And international listeners, you can send us an audio message at meganpodcast@gmail.com. And we ask you to leave your voicemails under 3 minutes. We don't ask you. We demand of you. You will get cut off.
You will get cut.
Snip, snip, vasectomy, baby. So we recommend that you write it down, channel your inner Virgo, and that's how you can get a really nice, clear, concise story to let us know. And it also will get you bonus points with Melissa because, mm-hmm. oh, shit.
I can feel it.
She can. And she immediately, if you start the call with going, so sorry, I like have tried to record this a bunch of times, or you give a backstory that like this is really long or something, immediately her reaction is wasting fucking time. Wasting fucking time. Don't.
That's what
don't
I'm
waste
saying
time.
When you guys are wondering what's going on. That's what I'm saying.
If you watch this podcast, which you should, check it out. We're on Patreon. If you want to watch the video version, it's only $1 a month. So that's 4 to 5 episodes a month for $1. But there's like always a moment, like usually like right when the call starts, that we're either saying that, or if they say, hey, Megan, Melissa, and guest, and we're like, there's no fucking guest. Yeah. Or if they just say, hey, Megan, and then they ignore you. That's when we go, I'm sorry, what?
I'm sorry, here. What?
Always. Literally always. So yeah, respect your fucking queens, please. Because truthfully, I am on all I am. I am. What did you call me the last time? Oh,
glitter.
I'm the glitter and you're the glue. So truly, Melissa should be appreciated way more because all I am is the added sparkle that you get extra credit on. But like, there is no substance. Like, it wouldn't exist. There's nothing to put glitter on if there's no fucking glue. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but you have substance.
No, but like the podcast wouldn't exist. That's I don't know how to fucking, like when people are like, oh my God, how do you do a podcast? I'm like, I don't fucking know. I'm like, I know how to record.
You know how to show up.
Sometimes when I'm not late.
Yeah.
You're still here. I am still here. Well, it's also hard to like
not
go
here.
Anywhere. Remind me, I have something we literally just spent so fucking long shooting the shit like off camera. Mm-hmm. And I now just remembered another thing that I need to tell you off camera.
Okay.
So remind me. But wild. So what's new with you? How are you?
First, I want to give a shout out to my sister, Megan. Happy birthday.
Oh, happy birthday. So fun.
Yeah. New with me. Let's see. You know, I've been working on like not sleeping on my face, on my stomach. Actually,
I have. Did you get that pillow that I told you about?
No, I got a full pregnancy body pillow.
Wait, I wanted one. Yes. Do you love it?
On both sides. Like, I'm in, like, a full cocoon, and I love it. I don't, like, my hand, I usually wake up multiple times in the nighttime because I can't help but sleep on my stomach, and my hand goes numb. And so I wake up multiple times in the night. Haven't been doing it. Been sleeping through the night. Love it. I can sleep on my side. I can sleep on my back. And, like, yeah, it's perfect. It's perfect. I'm not waking up. Like, I usually wake up with, like, my neck hurting. Nothing.
Wow. So before we get into the calls, let's go to the update. Let's get a fucking update.
We are here with our caller that was in season 4, episode 3. And if you want to share a little bit about the original call.
Yeah, so I was a caller that called with the like ex-boyfriend that his girlfriend was still involved with his family. That like his family was basically telling me I was the crazy one. Meanwhile, his ex-girlfriend was still coming to my spin and bar and yoga classes. Yeah, that one.
So RIP to her. Is she still with us?
She is. I'm just not with him.
Oh, wait, what happened?
So, okay. I wish I took your guys' advice and dumped him and said, boy, bye. I didn't. So I stayed with him for 6 days, short of a year. On the day of my graduation party, he didn't show up. Instead, asked me to meet him at a local brewery. Immediately, first words out of his mouth, he was like, so I'm just going to get right into it. I don't want to be with you. I wrote you a letter.
No.
On your graduation day? Is this college or high school?
College.
Even worse.
Normalize not writing people, not giving people letters that you write. Like, that should be like, you should, if you write someone a fucking letter, don't send it. Like, if it's to get your feelings out there, you don't need to fucking see that.
Yeah. Printed it, had it ready to go.
Oh my gosh. It wasn't fucking even laminated? Handwritten.
Yeah.
So like,
literally, wait, hold on.
Was this before your ceremony or after your ceremony?
So it was after. So it was the day of my party. He told me I could either read the letter now in front of him while he sat there and drank 2 beers, which unfortunately is the option I took.
Wait, I can't even read a birthday card when someone gives me one in front of them. Oh my God, you are brave.
I sat there and just like read it and cried and was like, okay. Yeah. Yeah. So that happened in February. It was 6 days before our 1 year anniversary.
And then you just hopped into quarantine.
Yeah. And our Airbnb was booked for that week.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. In March, I was still scheduled to teach at his parents' studio.
The spin studio, right?
No. So the yoga studio.
Yoga. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so that was in March. I taught my first class. And then the next day while I was at work, received a 6-paragraph email from his mom telling me like making these crazy accusations that I said things about my best friend that actually came from them, to which they reassured me that they informed her of everything that I said.
Why would they do this?
I have no clue. Maybe they were like really trying to weed me out the entire time, which is why they stayed such close friends with his exit. Like,
oh,
I have
my
no
God.
Clue. Yeah. His mom like basically accused me of being an alcoholic, said that I like to overexpose myself and like over talk and overshare when I was drinking. Yeah. Told me I was so annoying and irritating throughout our entire relationship. But that they were going to allow me the opportunity to still teach at their studio.
Because she couldn't say, she wanted you to quit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's she couldn't fire you because it'd be wrongful termination. So she was trying to say things to make you quit.
Yep. And so then I wrote her back just like a 1-paragraph email because I didn't need to be dumped by him and his family.
Yeah.
And I was like, I hope you're able to reflect on the things I did for you and your family without being asked and asking nothing in return. I wish you all the best. I will not be teaching at your studio. Bye. And she immediately emailed back and was like, I'm so sorry. My heart's in my stomach because of this. Yeah.
She had that. When you said she immediately emailed you back, she had that email ready to go. She knew that you were going to quit. So she
just—it's like what you do when you schedule emails, Melissa. Yeah, that's probably what she did. She scheduled the apology. Yeah.
What a cunt,
dude! I cannot fucking believe. Like, this isn't. That is so much. Mm-hmm. Like, that is so fucking extra.
I have to tell you guys the most insane story. I tell people this story, and they're like, "You're kidding, right? Like, you're fucking kidding." So his family had a hot tub, and the way the hot tub was set up, like at the top of a bunch of stairs. Mm-hmm. So you had to like walk up to the hot tub. And there was one night that my now ex, he was like, come on, like, let's just go. Like, you don't need your swimsuit. Like, let's just go in the hot tub.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, I don't feel comfortable with that. Like, your family could literally walk out at any moment. I was like, I'm going to wear mine. But if you opt to not wear yours, that's fine. So he didn't. And we're walking out and his mom like shouts down from the top and she's like, hey, like we're already in here. And my ex was like, oh, well, should we leave and come back? And his dad's like, no, no, like come up and join us. So in my head at the time, I was like, this is going to be awkward. Like I'm wearing a bathing suit. I'm sure they wouldn't invite us up there if they weren't. But he's not wearing a bathing suit.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
No!
Oh my gosh.
No. No! No.
Oh my gosh.
Yep. So I make it all the way up the stairs. And my ex just goes, so are we a nude beach tonight? And both his parents turn to us and go, yep.
This is something they do all the time.
The fuck up. Shut the fuck up.
This went in so many directions.
Yeah. And it was weird because it was like throughout our relationship, it was as if they were grooming me to be a perfect fit for their family.
They were grooming you to touch his dad's dick.
Yeah. Like, they're like familial swingers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really bad. There was one point where I, like, was talking to his mom about my best friend, the one that owns the studio that I teach at. And she was like, I don't get it. Like, why do you like her so much? She was like, because I'm telling you right now, if you're a mother, like, she's a mother, I'm not going to be happy with how you raise my grandkids.
The audacity.
Also, yeah. She also told me that if I got pregnant right then and there, that it would be fine because it would help me out.
I hate them.
This is unreal.
Yeah.
I can't believe though that like through all of this, when did you start listening to the podcast? Because there's been like you called in for like, yeah, it was like a lot, but I'm like, damn, all of this other shit.
So I had been listening to the podcast for quite a while and I've been kind of going back and forth because they had me like super sketched out to where I was like, they're for sure going to find out about this. Like maybe I shouldn't do it. And then I think if you guys remember, it was 5 days before my birthday that I called it.
Yeah.
Because his ex wanted to give me a birthday present.
Yeah. Oh.
And she did.
What was it? Like a candle?
It was bath bombs.
Same fucking thing.
Yeah.
Was it a basket? Oh, even better. Ugh. Did you use them?
Yeah.
Well, you're here to survive. You're here to live to tell the tale. So
yeah,
I'm so fucking glad that you're out of that. Like, good God. I think you're gonna have a great your next relationship. It just like karma has to give you a good one. Like, actually has to.
Like, I'm like crawled up into my skin right now.
Dude, I am like clenching my ass right now. Like, I'm just like, I can't even imagine. Like, I feel like I have no right to complain about anything ever again. Like, I'm like Mots didn't take the trash out and I'm like, oh, it's fine. It's fine. Holy fuck, dude.
Yeah. Wow. And that was the beginning of my 2020.
So 2020 was just like the
dumpster fire.
It stayed on theme for you. Like it never came out of left field. Like it was consistent with what had been dealing you before. Fuck. Yeah. Well, I'm so fucking sorry. That is like absolute insanity. I'm glad that we get to hear about it and like you can joke about it and all of that shit.
You're on the other side.
Yeah. You survived. Yeah. You need a t-shirt that says like, I survived what like the fucking family or whatever.
As long as I never have to see my father-in-law's balls hanging down again, I think I'll be happy.
I think you will be too. Yeah. Oh my God. That's insane. Well, thank you so much for giving this update. This was like not what I expected. And like, this was just like, I feel like I like need a breather. Like, I feel like I just went on a roller coaster and it's not even my life. Haha. Wow. That was just doing like the reaction, like after commercial break.
That was a lot.
I know, because I laughed at my joke before I even finished saying my joke. Wow.
I mean, it was a roller coaster, though.
I have no words. I have... What the fuck? What the fuck?
Like, how are these people real?
I don't know. Unwell. Unfucking well. I mean, I think this is a great note to... like, if the update's that good, then, like, you know, maybe, like, where do we have to go from here?
I don't think we can top it, but whatever.
Hello, Megan and Melissa. So I am 23 years old, and I have a little situation with a friend who is fucking stupid because she keeps partying right now, and it's a fucking pandemic. Like, I always see her snaps. I always see her friend's snaps, who are mutual friends of mine as well. Actually, it's mostly this friend that I'm talking about who, by the way, is 22 and a Leo. So maybe, Megan, you can help me talk to a Leo and why are they so fucking stubborn? And I'm sorry, I don't want to roast you. But, like, literally, like, I worry about this friend because she and I grew up literally when we were fetuses. Like, our parents knew each other. And I don't, like, I keep telling her, yo, we're in a pandemic. And she's like, I know, like, my friends want to go clubbing. I'm like, then don't go clubbing with your friends. Like, you can just stay home. And she's like, yeah, but I don't, like, I'm depressed right now. Just like, go to therapy. And she's like, not getting it. Like, I even told her today that I'm like, yo, again, we're in a pandemic. And she just left me on red. I'm just like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, it's literally insane that I see people. I'm sorry, I'm like really angry. But like, I had a cousin who literally got tested positive for COVID, which, don't worry, he ended up being okay. He's now healthy, scared, but healthy, which, I mean, that's the initial reaction you would get, right? And, like, it's just driving me insane. Like, how do I, like, tell her? Like, I literally said it multiple times that she's being stupid and being irresponsible and putting other people at risk. So how do I, like, tell her? Like, do I just give up and be like, hey, if you get COVID, you get COVID? Or do I continue to tell her that she's being stupid and putting people at risk? Or another thing that I thought of is telling her mom, but she and her mom aren't that close. Like, they kind of have a really toxic relationship, which I don't want to go into. But yeah, like, how do I approach her, or do I just dip? And if she gets COVID, she gets COVID. Okay. I really hope this could help.
Blink twice if you're in the Facebook group. We think we know you. This is a lot.
So much. Like, I'm just, this week I was asked by a friend to go to a place that a lot of elite people go to. And I've been asked to go to this place many times by this same person within the past month. And I keep telling him, like, COVID doesn't have, like, barriers unless you're wearing a mask, that it's like, at this place, you have to be inside. There is no outside. And yeah, like, I mean, there is, but like,
it's a covered outside. It's like, not like,
it's not. Yeah.
Like, you're rich still, people outside. Like, you're not in the sun.
Yeah, you're like, inside.
You know? It's like, not open air.
And I've seen his pictures from there, and he's definitely inside all the time. And I can't, like, I don't know how else I can just tell him. Like I said, like, you know, I'm not going anywhere. I've said, like, I don't go out in these streets, like, trying to make a joke. Like, mm-hmm. and like his response to that was like, ha ha ha. And then the next day, text me again. He's like, I'm planning a trip. Do you want to come? And I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, people that don't care just don't care. And you just have to, like, there's nothing you can say to them that's going to change. Nothing.
Yeah. I mean, I very much agree with you. This is something I talk about with my therapist all the time, because her whole thing is, Megan, stop putting all of this energy out on other, like, you can't fix everyone. You can't save everyone, all of that, which is very much what I do. And I'm very comfortable calling people out. So I've had conversations with, like, close friends. I have had a conversation with, the way you described this friend is, like, very much, I have a friend in my life very similar to this. And the conversation that I had with them is, I think the only, if you can get to them, there's, like, one of two people. Like, you can either not get to them and they just don't care, or there are people who are willfully ignorant. And in order to have someone understand that, then I make them talk and I ask them questions. And I'm like, okay, so, like, what are you, so you're doing, so, like, whatever they're going to go do or whatever. I was like, oh, so are you just, like, what's your mindset on social distancing? And then I'll be like, oh, so are you going by CDC regulations? And, like, what do you think those are? And then it becomes like, oh, well, and this was, like, a couple months ago when it was like, oh, well, like, groups of 10 people or less. And I'm like, no, that was three, like, people who stopped listening, people mm-hmm. who got scared. They heard all of the stuff and they just stopped listening because, like, it freaked them out. And so then they went by the same guidelines that they had heard. Or when people are like, well, Fauci says that fat masks don't work, or like that masks are, like, it's not airborne. I'm like, yeah, in March, like the first week of March or something.
When,
like,
people are still trying to figure out what the hell this is. Now we have a firmer, we still don't understand it completely. We have a firmer grasp on it, but it's still, like, it's ever changing. So you have to be up to date, like, what's going on today.
Exactly.
Not a month ago, even, not a week ago.
And a lot of people don't have that. And they put a lot of blind trust and faith in, like, their, like, local, like, lawmakers and all that stuff. And I'll be like, okay, so do you know how many new cases we had today? Like, do you know, like, this whole thing that it became, it was just about, and I think a lot of people have this mindset that it was about flattening the curve. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no. Okay. Yeah. It's about flattening the curve. And the reason we need to flatten the curve is not to get rid of the virus. We have to flatten the curve so we don't overwhelm our hospital system. Like, mm-hmm. that's the reason why flattening the curve wasn't the beginning and end of this. And, like, the whole thing with, like, the quarantining and, like, social distancing and all of that, people have assumed that that was because we needed to flatten the curve. And that is the reason, that was our first goal. But mm-hmm. then once the curve is flattened, we're still in the middle of a pandemic and we're still, it's still highly contagious. And that doesn't mean that things can go back to to normal. And so I think if you can have a conversation where it's like, have her, like, just be like, so tell me all the facts that you know, like, tell me what you're going by. Like, I had friends who were talking about travel and they're like, well, I read an article that said traveling was, like, fine. And I was like, when can you send it to me? Like, when did you read that? Like, look on the CDC, like, guideline, what they're saying. I was like, because there is a level of ignorance to it. But then there are people who are like, if she's saying, like, oh, well, like, my friends are inviting me out to a club, and it's like, you don't have to go. And no. I'm a petty bitch, and I've literally told someone, like, and they, if they're, like, doing that, I'm like, I'm gonna level with you. Like, I really love you and I'm really disappointed, because, like, this does make me view you differently. And it makes me really sad to think that if I got sick and I'm thinking about all the precautions that I took, there's someone who's so close in my life who hasn't done those things. Mm-hmm. And that could be the cause of, like, why I get sick or a family member gets sick. And, like, I can't imagine just having someone's, like, life on my hands in that way. And it really sucks, because I thought you were better than this. And, like, I'm disappointed. And, like, yeah. That's all there is to it. Like, it makes me, like, view you differently, and it makes me see you differently. And, like, that really, it sucks and it's disappointing for me.
Yeah. And I really hate people that use their mental health as an excuse for their bad behavior. Like, if it's about you socializing and being around people that helps with your mental health, I totally get that. But that doesn't mean going out to the club. That means going to a park.
Yeah.
And being wearing a mask and not, like, out drinking, having mask off, dancing close to people. It's not the same thing. You're going out because you want to go out.
Well, it's the same thing with valuing your mental health over other people's physical health and other people's mm-hmm. mental health. And like, that's not okay. And like, it also just assumes like the idea that there are lots of, I don't know anybody who's not struggling with their mental health stuck inside.
Right.
But it's like, I'm now going to have to do this longer because your mental health said that you have to go out and party at a club and do all of this kind of stuff. Like, I get it. Like, if you want to have a conversation about how it's like really affecting your depression, like, hi, hello, me too. Like, let's talk about it. Like, this has been really fucking hard and like has been really hard for all of us. And as opposed to having that be the excuse and like the catalyst for reckless behavior, like, let's have a conversation and let's talk about that. Mm-hmm. And then let's find a way that we can do things like safely, like the whole thing that like there, it's not getting back to normal. It's how can I do the things that I like and bring me joy in my life in a way that is safe? It's not like this game of like, well, are we going to be like this forever? And I'm like, if you keep doing this, yeah. Like, but it's true though. Like what you said at the beginning, there's some people who just, they don't care and they don't really want to know and they're not going to change. And for those people, I mute them or depending on how well I know them.
A lot of friends, like people that I've considered friends, I've muted mm-hmm. them because I'm just like, it just makes me angry seeing them and they're going to continue yeah. doing what they're doing. So I should just mute them for now.
Yeah. And then it's like, if it changes your friendship down the road, which like for me, 100% will, like 100% will change my friendship. And like, but I can't see that shit because mm-hmm. like I've already said my piece. And like you said, it just makes me fucking angry. Like it just makes me angry. But I think if like you, if they're working an essential job or something like that, and like, you know, that they're like not being safe or they're around somebody who's immune compromised, like I 100% think you, if you know someone who's in their circle who like might not know, like if she's seeing her grandma, like fucking let like a family member know or something saying, hey, she's not taking these cautions. But like, other than that, if yeah, it's, it has to kind of be like, if she gets it, she fucking gets it. But yeah, it's it for your own sanity. You just need to like mute her.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. But my heart goes out to you. I think this is something we're all struggling with people like this.
Mm-hmm. Next call.
Yeah, baby.
Hi, Megan and Melissa. Basically, I think I might have gotten myself into a situation that's kind of complicated. I'm an Aquarius, by the way, and I'm moving in with one of my best friends who's a Pisces. She bought the house we'll be living in, and I'll be paying her rent. I love her a lot, but a lot of the things she's said and done recently have kind of made me really nervous about living together. I like to think I'm a really chill roommate because there isn't a lot that someone I'm living with could do that would really irritate me to the point of getting mad. I've lived with roommates in the past and it's been a good situation because, I mean, granted, we were all very respectful of each other, but nobody really did anything that really pissed me off. But anyway, she's easily frustrated with things people do and kind of likes things her way, which is totally fine. But for example, I asked her if I could bring my bed over to the house a little bit early because it's in a box and wouldn't take up too much space. But she said no because of all the boxes are stressing her out, which I understand, but I just don't see how a box in what will be my room would be a huge deal. Anyway, how do I live with her in a house she bought and feel like it's my space too? Basically, I just don't want to feel like a guest in the place I'm living in, and I don't want any conflict. We've discussed being open and honest about things that would bother us, and we've established house rules along with our other best friend, who's a Capricorn, by the way, who'll be moving in a couple weeks after me. But I'm wondering if you have any tips on making this situation a good experience and feeling comfortable in a house that she bought. Thank you so much. Love you both and the show.
You signed the lease, all. You sure? Is this set in stone?
Yeah. The roommates that you had before, were they your best friend? Because they weren't. The thing is that you're now
a tenant.
Yes, you're a tenant to, that's the word I was looking for. You now pay her money. to live, and she provides you a service. And that has now is going to change the dynamic of your relationship.
Yeah.
Did you actually like sign a lease, or is it like a friend thing where she's just, you're just giving her money every month? Because like now the dynamics change. So you honestly don't have any say in what goes on. If she doesn't want you to bring a box over to her house, because yes, you're paying rent there, but it's her house.
Yeah.
Then you don't, you have no say in that. When does your, did you sign a lease? If you signed a lease, what are like, what does it say in your lease about things that you can and cannot do? If you sign the lease, like, if the lease says it doesn't start until like the first of the month and you want to move your box in, then you yeah. don't, you can't. If she says no.
I mean, the other red flag here is this is three people in one house. Three is not a good number. Three is a really bad number. To be fair, I think this three is going to work out in your favor. Mm-hmm. I think
Capricorn
it's going to end
and Aquarius
up
together. Yeah.
Versus her. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I think is going to happen. Oh my God. So I am very, it might surprise you all to know I'm like really particular and like very type A despite having like ADHD. So I like, I would be this person. Do you know what I mean? Like, I would 100% if I was the girl who owns the house, I would be the exact same way, which is why I would never put myself in that position.
No, I would never rent out a place to a friend ever.
No, because yeah, it's my, like, I want it. It's my house. Mm-hmm. Like, you're paying rent for your room, but like my fucking house. Mm-hmm. And so it's just, no matter how good of friends you are, it's just like a natural sort of feeling. And like, it's also kind of why I don't think anyone should live in the house, like it live in a house, even if it's like, even if she wasn't, they weren't friends in general. Like, if you live with tenants in the building that you fucking own, like in like the same house and shared space, it's going to be, no one wants that in general. Like, you would never want to live with your fucking landlord. And
I
like
did
just
that.
Because
the last time I had a roommate, that's what it was. She owned the condo that we lived in.
That's true.
But I treated it as only a business relationship.
Yeah. But like, was it, were there sometimes you wish you didn't live with like the, or did she not really not care?
I mean,
there's also age difference too.
Yeah, there's a big age difference. And also I kept, like, she wanted to, like, oh, we don't know that much about each other. And I kept the separation. But, like, everything in the place was her stuff. Like, not yeah. in my room, but everywhere else in the living room, in the kitchen. It was all her stuff. And I respected that. And I knew that, like, this is her shit. Like, I don't have any say in it. Even, like, I didn't have that much space in, like, the cabinet. Like, she made, yeah. she cleaned out a cabinet for me. But, like, I knew what my place was in the place that I lived. And I think with you coming in as a friendship, it's just going to end badly if you're already having issues and you haven't even moved in.
Yeah. I don't know how old you guys are, or if she, because I think like the added element, if her parents or guardians, the people who raised her, whatever, if they bought this place for her or like contributed heavily to it, I think that can kind of be a mind fuck, because it also feels like she's benefiting from it too. Do you know what I mean? Like that mm-hmm. it's less like, it should be more like, oh, we're all benefiting in the same kind of way. But it's just not how like the mind works in that way. Like, as opposed to like a roommate, when you're all renting from like a landlord, you're all paying for like to share the space. But when you're renting out from them directly, like in a, you're paying for your bedroom
mm-hmm.
in her house, you are paying to like stay there. And that's like, it's, that's it. Like, it's just, I think if you can do as much, like, it sucks to say, but kind of like, I think if you want to preserve your friendship, don't expect this to be, oh yeah, everything's shared space. This is all going to be really chill. Like, treat your room like your room and like salvage the friendship that way. And like, if you feel comfortable, like, and it like gets better, then totally like, but it is going to feel like you are living in her house because you are living in her house. Well, best of luck. I'm so sorry that we just told you that you shouldn't have done it. Go back in time.
I mean, you're in the situation now. You just have to go in it and realize that, like, you are in her house. You have to abide by her house rules.
Yeah, and you make your room really nice and really cozy in a place that you really, like to be. And yeah. And then, like, all of the shared space, think of it as 90% hers, 10% yours. Like, think of it like borrowing.
Like, the kitchen is there for you to eat. Like, get food. That's it. The living room. If she comes in, if she wants to watch something different, then she gets to watch something different.
Ugh. And it sucks. Like, I don't think it's like, I think it's just natural though.
Mm-hmm.
Unless someone's really fucking chill. But she doesn't.
She's not. She doesn't want you to bring a box in to your room. Like, it's going to be in your room behind a closed door.
I would never do that, by the way. It would
stress her out.
Wow. I'm stressed out for you. Please let us know how it's going. And we wish you the very, very, very best. Get some like nice twinkly lights, some cozy blankets.
Mm-hmm.
Get an Apple TV for your room.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, guys, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Today's episode is brought to you by a sponsor we love, 310 Nutrition. 310 Nutrition is helping us, you, our listeners, in the new year with protein and superfood-rich products with so many options and flavors for your personal preferences. They're adding new products all of the time, and I just got my... I mean, I didn't just get my package. I just got a secondary of my package. And I, as someone who needs electrolytes to function, it's like elixir from the gods. I cannot sing their praises enough, specifically the cucumber flavor of this electrolyte mix is delicious. Like, it's so good. I've even like had it on like ice and been like, I'm drinking like a drink. Like, you can throw a little straw in there. And it's delicious. It's so good. And I love, they're filled with so many great ingredients that really help if you're like me and you like, you know, medically need some electrolytes, but also if you're working out, if you're sweating, hot summer day, you're going to an amusement park, you're on your feet for a long period of time, all of that. Most of us are not getting the electrolytes we need.
Yeah, I drink mine specifically when I am working out. It's my beverage while I'm working out. I just take one stick of the hydrate, mix it in with my bottle of water. 16 ounces of water can provide the same amount of hydration equal to drinking 2 to 3 bottles of water if you got that hydrate in there. They also have the all-in-one shakes, which I absolutely love. I'm running low, so I gotta get some more. But I love the chocolate bliss, the vanilla cream, the caramel sundae. I have all three of those flavors. Sometimes I mix and match them. Sometimes I'll use it when I'm baking, or I'll just drink it straight. And it is, they're so good. They have a triplex protein blend, plant-based proteins that include pea, brown rice, and pumpkin that makes it so delicious. You can get fiber and superfood blends with more than 25 organic fibers and superfoods blended into one easy, delicious shake. And they also have 3-10's 4-shake flavor starter kit, which lets you sample all the flavors for only $9.
Right now, 3-10 is celebrating a new year of goals with Don't Blame Me and giving our listeners 50% off up to $100 for your first order. With so many sample packs, new products, it's really fun and super easy to put together an order, or you can start a subscription on products you know you'll use. Go to 310nutrition.com and use the code BLAMEME right now for 50% off up to $100 for your first order. That's 310nutrition.com and use code BLAMEME.
In our live stream, our listeners are always recommending and talking about books. So we're so excited about Book of the Month because this is something that our listeners are going to love.
This is a brand that I've been familiar with for a long time. I like love watching people talk about it. I love seeing what books people are reading and like what books they have available. And I love everything about it. So I'm so excited for someone who like... You know, the ease of getting into a book, a lot of it can feel like really daunting. So to have like a service where it's like, you're going to get like high quality hardcover books, which that's my preferred way to read, at incredible prices, but also curated. So it's like amazing, cool, wonderful, great. This is, it's kind of like a straight shot into that, and something that Book of the Month you can do over and over and over again. And one of the great things about it is the longer you are part of the program, the cheaper the books get.
Book of the Month's mission is to help readers discover new books they love and promote the work of emerging authors. One of the amazing things about Book of the Month is that every aspect of Book of the Month experience is designed to be fun and special for readers. First of all, the books come in a bright blue box, which is very pretty. Me and Megan were just talking about them. There's also a fun app to pick your books and track reading progress. And as well, there are reading challenges and rewards.
And Book of the Month makes it really easy to decide what book to read next, which for me is like the biggest hurdle. I love when other people make choices for me, especially when they're good choices. And I'm like, cool, I can trust you. So each month, the editorial team reads through hundreds of new titles and they pick some of the best new books for you to choose from. All of the books are so good, you can't go wrong. And I mean that wholeheartedly. When we were picking like our selects for this, I was like, wait, this, I like all of them. This is hard. And I literally coordinated with Melissa and I was like, okay, so these are like my top ones. I'm assuming they will be yours. So don't pick the same one as me so then we can swap afterwards. And that's what we did.
So we got The Ministry of Time by Killian Bradley. And we also received The Return of Ellie Black by Emiko Jean.
The Ministry of Time is like, people are calling it like, if you're a fan of Outlander and like spy novels or time traveling books, it's quoted from Town and Country saying it's really innovative, fun storytelling. The Ministry of Time is definitely for you, and listed it as 45 of the must read books for spring 2024. And then Harper's Bazaar also said part time travel romance, part spy thriller, and 100% multifaceted joyride. When I tell you that, I was like, sold.
We're also excited about The Return of Ellie Black. And this one is about a missing girl who returns, but that isn't the end of the story. It's only the beginning. We both like a detective book. This one is 20 years since Detective Chelsea Calhoun's sister vanishes. Ever since, Chelsea has been searching for signs for closure for other missing girls. But happy endings are rare in Chelsea's line of work. Which, that sounds so intriguing. And I'm looking forward to reading this novel so much.
Can't wait. And we're so excited to usher in this new sponsor. And we know y'all are already going to love this. Plus, we've been recommended this so many times. Mm-hmm. So we've already got fans in you. Try the service yourself at bookofthemonth.com. And you can get your first book for $5 with code PETALS. That is your first book, $5 at bookofthemonth.com using code PETALS. Little fuckers and call me sluts. Guess what? Melissa and I were on an episode of Clit Talk, a fantastic podcast where guess what we talked about? Sex, sex toys, and clits. So here's a clip and then check it out.
All right, ladies, should we dive into it? Should we talk about vibrators?
Ooh, yes.
Yes. Should we talk about clitoral suckers? All right, all right.
That's exactly the sound effect that, like, in my head when I first read, like I was like sucking. I was like, that's all I could hear in my head was like.
I feel like that is like, what it sounds like.
Though. It is.
Okay, so Megan and Melissa, did you guys know that there's 5 different types of clits?
I actually listened to. Oh, you episode. Did. I did.
Wait, what do you mean?
So basically, in a nutshell, the episode talks about there are 5 different types of clits. So there's clits can be either hooded or unhooded, which means it's like kind of covered or a little bit like outside of the hood. You know what I'm talking about?
Uh-huh,
and
uh-huh.
Then there's small, which is the size of about a grain of rice. And that can be either hooded or unhooded. There's medium, which is like the size of like a pea or like a corn kernel, which can be like hooded or unhooded. Okay. And then there's anything larger than that is considered large. And so for me, I have a small clit, which is really extra sensitive. So I've had a lot of issues with vibrators in the past, making me just fucking go numb. And I had never tried a clitoral sucker before. And I was like, okay, so we got this, the Empress is the one I'm talking about from Vuj. And I tried it and it like altered my sex life, my like sex life with my partner and nice. Masturbation, because I realized like the vibrators were too hard. Like they would, I would just go numb in like 20 seconds. And then I'd have like blue ovaries, you know, and it was just so frustrating to me.
I can't wait to like, as soon as we get off this, I'm like standing in front of a mirror and my hands are down my pants and I'm figuring out, I'm gonna be like, what, where do I fall, what is my category?
why wait till after the episode?
You've gotta be like aroused,
go
right?
Grab a hand mirror right now.
Yeah, don't I have to like be turned
yes,
on
you
to
you
like
do.
See
you actually yeah. need to make sure your clit is engorged with blood, so just stimulate.
Okay, so I don't want to have no follow through, so I'll wait until we're done with this and then I will keep everyone updated.
All right, fair enough.
I'm guessing I'm medium is what I would think, but maybe I'm not. I don't know.
The crazy thing is like medium and hooded. That's the most common.
The most common is medium, yeah.
Okay. I don't want to be common. I want to be unique.
You want some big clit energy?
I do. I would like big clit energy. Okay, guys, we are back from our break, and let's get into the rest of our calls.
Hey, Megan and Melissa. I'm hoping to get your help with a friend of mine. So about a year ago, we met freshman year of college, and now she's sort of like one of my best friends. She is like a heavier set girl. Like she has like an apple body type. Like she sort of has like a bigger midsection. And as we sort of became closer friends, she started to make like light jokes about her body. I never really paid a lot of attention to them. I didn't like that she made them, and they were usually like kind of hurtful to her and self-deprecating. So I would sometimes ask her like, hey, are you okay? And she would just sort of laugh it off and nod and be like, yeah, I'm fine. Why? I was just making a joke. Like she kind of, I guess I sort of felt like I was being too intrusive asking her the questions at the time. So I was just like, whatever, I won't address it. And like, whatever. So we've been friends for like a year now. And over the summer, she was having like a really hard time, and we got like pretty close and we started talking more. And I went to visit her in July on her side of the state. And so during our trip, she was expressing to me that she didn't like her body and that she didn't like the jokes that she made or that like our friends would make, because like, I guess when they saw her making the jokes, they started to think like it was acceptable to do. So she doesn't like that like they make fun of her as well. Like not make fun, but you know what I mean? Like make light of it. So she asked me to help her stop making them. And I encouraged my friends not to make them anymore. And I want to be there for her, and that's fine. But what I'm trying to like get advice on is like whenever we do yoga or work out together, she'll say like she can't do certain things because of her weight. She makes like comments and stuff about like how her weight affects her capabilities. And my question is, I don't know exactly what to say to her when she says things like this, because she has a tone in her voice that she wants me to help her, but also that she wants me to tell her she's not overweight. But she also acknowledges that she is and that she knows her body type and she's upfront about it. But can you give me some advice on how to make her feel less insecure when she expresses dislike, like when she says certain things like, oh, I can't do this pose because like of my big belly or whatever. Like, and I don't just want to be like, of course, I don't want to just agree and be like, LOL, yeah. Like, I would never say that to a friend. And I don't want to call my friend fat because like, she's really insecure. So I don't know what to say to her to make her feel less insecure and make her feel as beautiful and as capable as I see her. because she's so wonderful and I see her as so much more than just her body type, and I don't want to make her feel bad, but she doesn't like herself. So what can I do whenever she needs my help or expresses dislike and wants to feel better? Like, as her friend, she'll always say that she's not beautiful, and I want to encourage her and tell her she is, but she doesn't physically think she's beautiful. Even though she knows she's beautiful on the inside, she doesn't physically think she's beautiful. So I'm sorry for rambling, but please give me some advice. I appreciate it. I love your podcast. Bye.
You can't make her feel better about her body. You can't make her love herself. You can't make her like her body, anything like that. This really fucked up thing about being a person is people have the capability to make us feel really, really, really bad about ourselves, but other people don't have the capability of necessarily making us feel better. So, I think the thing is, if she says something along the lines of, well, like, first of all, I think like the term fat is not an insult and we should never mm-hmm. use it like an insult. And it's also a word that can be like, you know, incredibly triggering to some people. So it doesn't need to be something that not everybody needs to accept that term as like a positive term, but we need to take away the negative connotation from it. So using it as like an insult in any way, or like a, not even, I don't want to say an insult, but as like that there's a negative connotation to it, or that it's like it's a bad thing to be like, oh, I don't want to say this. But I think if she's like saying like, oh, I can't do this like pose because of like this part of thing. And then it's like, okay, well, how about like, what about if you try this one instead? And like, that's all there is to it. It's not about her body and making you feel better in her body. It's hard because our society, and I'm not accusing like you, color, at all of being like fat phobic at all, but like so much of our society is based around like weight in our bodies that it becomes, oh, that's the thing that needs to be fixed versus, oh, or like, I can't do this because like, it's like my ankles or something like that. It's like, oh, have you tried ankle braces? Or like, maybe you try this pose instead, and you address that versus, oh, well, here's this other, like, let's talk about your weight here. Or this is the thing. Like, no, we just like, there are certain things that like, I can't do. I have limitations with my body.
That's what I was about to say. Like with yoga, there's several different modifications that you can do for every single pose. And there's several like plus size, curvy, fat, whatever you want to call the person or what they want to be called, models and like Instagram models that are on Instagram doing poses. Like there's that's what I was looking up. My name is Jessamine, MyanmeisJessamyn, and she is like
crushing yoga,
and people love her, and she, the things that she can do, I'm like, what the
I could
like,
never.
I can't.
I look at yoga and all of that kind of stuff. I just think that like, as opposed to looking like this as a weight thing. And I think because she's talked about her weight, and then she also talks about these things that are related, like as her friend, separate those things from being related. Mm-hmm. Like, because like, Who gives a shit? Like, that's mm-hmm. just what it is. Like, truly, who gives a shit? Like, I've got really shitty joints. So there's a lot of things that like, and I have a bad wrist. There's a lot of things that I can't do mm-hmm. because of that. I had a tailbone injury as a kid. So there's a lot of things that like, I can't do like certain like crunches wise that are like right on the tailbone that I can't do. And you modify and you just mm-hmm. modify from there. And I think she's not, when people express how they feel about their looks or their body or something, first of all, like depending on the kind of person, like sometimes toxic people are doing that and it's just like, it's really soul sucking and anything. But also like, usually like people do that with people that they feel really comfortable and really close with. And sometimes it's just like, you kind of just have to say like, I feel shitty. I don't feel great about myself today. Like, I don't like the way I look, or I don't like the way I feel, or whatever. And the best thing that someone else can do is just be like, okay, what do you want to do? Like, what do you want to do today then? Like, it's just move on, as opposed mm-hmm. to seeing this. Cause there's something that like feels especially shitty when you're unhappy with something or whatever, or just like the hand you've been dealt, or if like my mental health's doing really bad someday and I'm like, oh, I'm feeling super depressed. And it's like, well, what will make you feel less depressed? And I'm like, or like, let's fix it. And I'm like, I can't. I just want you to kind of be like, oh, I hear you. Like, let's like watch a movie. Like, let's do something. Like, not even necessarily like ignore what I'm saying, but like, it doesn't, not everything needs to be fixed. And just because someone talks about it, sometimes just like, and you can even ask her, be like, hey, when we talk in these certain situations, like what, like what's the most helpful thing like for you? Like, mm-hmm. would it be like, do you, like, what do you, it's so much easier to ask people what they're looking for in conversations. Because most of the time we're all just like looking for someone to listen and not yeah. even respond. And we just want to vent.
An actual response. Yep.
Yeah. Because she's not expecting you to like fix her or make her feel better, because we all know that that's like, that can't happen. Like, that's just, it is like, it like we feel about ourselves how we feel about ourselves. But I think if you take away, if you make it, yeah, it's, if it workout regarded, it's like, oh, like weak ankles. Have you tried these ankle braces? Like, I looked these up. These seem like something that might help you. Or like, oh, maybe we should try like, I don't know, like back in the day, other workout stuff. It's like, oh, have you ever tried like this kind of workout? Like someone I heard who's like really into low impact stuff, they really like this. And that was mm-hmm. really good on their joints. Like if we just treat it like, it's because it's not like, it's just, it's our body. Our bodies are all so fucking different. And like, are we have thin bodies. We have fat bodies. We have the bodies that are capable of doing some things, bodies that aren't capable of doing mm-hmm. other things. Like it's such a fucking spectrum. And like any sort of like disability or limitation or anything like that, we all have
yeah
something. Like there yeah. is no, and this issue with like fucking fat phobia is that it's everybody else healthy and mm-hmm. then it's fat people unhealthy, and none of
that's
that
not
takes
true.
It's not at all. And it doesn't take into account that like health is like a privilege and not something that everybody is born with. Mm-hmm. And the idea that that is the ultimate like goal at all times of like human, it's not, it's.
And also like, just because you're fat doesn't mean that you're unhealthy. And just.
Well, that's like, you think about, I'm like, you could see like the difference that someone would be treated like of incredible. I mean, first of all, eating disorders kill more people than like, it's one of like the biggest causes of death. Mm-hmm. I think it's like under 18 or something, something wild, but like, there are people who could be, you know, like really, really, really struggling with like multiple chronic illnesses. Someone could have like super thin, has cancer, all of that kind of shit. And, but the issue is going to be the person who's fat. Like that's mm-hmm. going to be like what the epitome of unhealthy is like, regardless if someone is like emaciated, doing chemo and all of that kind of stuff. That like, it's just, it's fat phobia. Like it's mm-hmm. just what it is. And it just pisses me off. I get like so heated about it. Like I just get so fucking mad, because also it makes it seem, and how people talk about it is, it makes it seem that health is exclusively reserved for thin people mm-hmm. and thin people are in turn healthy because they are thin. And then I'm like, there are lots of thin people who are incredibly unhealthy. And then also that also doesn't help them get the attention that they fucking need, because yeah. everybody's like, well, no, it's weight. Weight is the biggest issue mm-hmm. here. So unless there's this, then, oh, and it's also just like not even set up in a way that like for our society and for our medical system to be so fucking fat phobic, it's not even set up in a way that like, I've had friends who have had like PCOS and gained like a good amount of weight in a short period of time, and their doctors all were like, well, it's just, why are you eating so much? And I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, if you're so fucking worried about people getting like overweight, and then this is a disorder that syndrome, it's a syndrome like that causes, like one of the symptoms is like rapid increased weight gain, and you're going to treat this like, oh, this is someone who's like, and you're not even treating that. Like, and I thought this was your biggest fucking issue. Like, it just makes me upset. But here's the other thing too. You don't know where she is. Like your friend is at on her journey with her body. And like, if she's trying to work towards like being more body, body neutrality and all of that kind of stuff. Like you don't know where she's at in that process. And it also can be really draining to listen to someone talk really negatively about their body all the time and not absorb that yourself. So I think like take care about your own feelings and everything like that, but just ask her what she's looking for from you and support her and take her weight out of the conversation. Because like, if she wants to talk about it, go ahead. I think about it like someone bitching about their grandma. If you want to bitch about your grandma to me, go ahead, bitch about your grandma. But you know mm-hmm. what I'm not gonna do? I'm not gonna talk about your grandma. Mm-hmm. That's your grandma. That's your life. That's like, I'm here to listen and I'm here to support you and whatever you need from me, but I have no say and no opinion in what you're talking about. All I care about is your happiness and what I can do to, like, not necessarily make you be happy with this thing that you don't necessarily like, but like what I can do in this moment that is the best possible response. Like, that's all I'm looking for, moment to moment.
Yep.
Oh,
well said.
And I'm not angry at you, caller, at all. I think you have like a really great mentality with this. I think it's just, this is the, like, this is the definition of like the society idea of like, how do I fix this and say this and not even saying that maybe that's what she wants. Like, she wants, she thinks that you can say something to fix it, but there's nothing you can say, and that's not your fault. Like, it's just how it is. Well, should we get on to the next one?
Hi there, Megan and potential guests. I have a kind of a weird situation, maybe not so weird, but essentially I'm the oldest of three sisters with a little bit of an age gap. For reference, I'm 26. My middle sister is 17 and my youngest sister is 15. And we grew up, well, they're currently growing up in a pretty small conservative town. And I am one of the only people, I guess you would consider liberal in my family. And around election time, it did cause a huge rift in my family between me and my parents and some of my other family members. We've since reconnected and are kind of mending that relationship. But my middle sister is also, as of right now, identifying as conservative. I know she's young, but it's hard when that's kind of the household that you grow up in. She recently confided in me that my youngest sister, the 15-year-old, is also holding a lot of liberal viewpoints, and that it's causing a rift between her and our parents. Now, I am a little bit closer to my middle sister than I am my younger sister, but I've been there before and I know what that position is like. So I was just wondering, even though we're not very close and I heard this information secondhand, should I reach out to her and let her know that I can be there for her to talk if she ever needs a resource, or let her know that she's more than welcome to stay at my place if she ever needs to. I can also confirm that these are her political and social beliefs, because I see what she posts on Instagram and they match up with what my middle sister is saying. So I guess I just want to make sure I'm not stepping over any boundaries, but I know, like I said, I was in that position and I know what it's like to feel like you're kind of alone when it comes to your beliefs. But anyways, thank you.
Okay, only child syndrome here, but she's your sister.
Yeah, like, that's, I am the oldest of three girls, and I don't ever think that I'm overstepping in any type of way.
Like, whose boundaries?
Yeah, like...
Like your
parents? I just talk to them however I want to talk to them. Maybe because there's an age gap, or is she, like... I don't know if she... Maybe...
Is it the same different parents?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, different parents, and you think that it's a parental thing. But, like, if she's your sister, then just talk to her however you want. Unless, I guess you don't, it seems like you don't talk to her. So maybe just start there and just, like, building your relation, your foundation and your relationship of actually just, like, talking to her. And then you can be a good influence on her life.
No, I think so. I think, like, also there's no harm. Like, I would assume, like you said, because you've been in that situation, which actually maybe they do have the same parents, because if she said she's been, I don't know. But I would just, like, reach out to her and be like, hey, blah, blah, blah. So-and-so told me that, like, you
Or don't have- even say the told me. I wouldn't even put that in there. I
not,
just
not
start
even talking about
her.
Views. Well, yeah. Also, yeah, she knows that you have liberal views. So, like, there's no reason that you even need, you're right. There's no even reason you need to state any of that. Like, she knows that you feel that way, so, like, just rekindle. And, like, you could even, like, make a joke. It's just like, you know, I know, like, it's election time, so it's like high stress in that household, and, like, just wanted to, like, give you a head, like, if you ever want to talk or anything, or you ever need someone to talk to, if you want to crash on my couch, like, you're more than welcome to. Like, I'm here for you. Like, mm-hmm. and then just like, and I think I would love to like be able to like talk to you and like, I'd love to be able to get closer to you because we haven't had that in a while. And like, yeah. I don't think this is overstepping any boundaries.
I don't see any boundaries when it comes to my siblings or my parents. I regularly say a lot of things that some people might say is
comedically award-winning, because that's what I would say.
Yeah, that we'll go with what Megan would say.
That's what people would say.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any. I mean, again, I'm an only child, so like I don't see this, but I also don't have boundaries with like
a lot of people.
But I think, like, it's just
especially siblings. I don't.
Yeah, I think it's just a matter of like as long as she's safe, as long as it's not going to impede on, and it doesn't sound like it's going to impede on her safety. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the only way. I as long as that's what it is, like. Fucking, I'm glad you have a sister who's on your side.
Yeah.
I do not understand people who like reconcile, like who, and I'm in a very, very fucking different position because like, family stuff is different for me, but like, mm-hmm. I cannot even wrap my head around having like relationships with like parents who are like X, Y, and Z belief system. Like, that's so, I can't imagine how hard that is.
Like, yeah, that's so hard. So but hard. Like, also, like, again, like, you're in a different position. Yeah. But like, if you get along with your parents in every other thing except for this one huge thing, then it's really hard.
Yeah. Because also right now it's like human rights and morals, which mm-hmm. like are not really shouldn't have a hand in politics. Like, mm-hmm. they should just be a given. Like, human rights are like should be a given. And so like just the whole thing, like I can't imagine how frustrating that is. I can't even imagine how fucking hard that is for like people who are financially dependent on their parents or their family, mm-hmm. or who like are live at home and are like teenagers, like that kind of shit. Like the, like fucking Claudia Conway, that shit makes me like my heart.
I cannot. My heart breaks, but I can't believe all the shit that she gets away with.
Iconic.
Like the fact that she broke that her mom had COVID, which you called the day before. You said it was gonna happen.
I got so many DMs, people being like, oh my god, are you writing for the simulation? And I'm like, yes, I would like my credits. Like,
yeah, dead. Like, she's like, my mom's coughing has been around Trump, and then it's like three TikToks later, my mom tested positive for COVID, and then her mom posts after that on Twitter. Yep. She had to. And then she posts like, this didn't age well.
She's iconic. Yeah. She's iconic. Oh my God. Like
her painting her pink walls all white and then writing things on. Did you see this?
No.
You need to go look. She had pink walls in her room, took a paint roller, made it all white, and then did like some graffiti shit on all her walls, like ACAB, fuck Trump, all this shit. And then her mom like came in and painted over the fuck Trump, but left everything else. And like, that's when I was like, okay, this girl.
Wow.
When it comes to siblings, I don't think there's boundaries, but I can also understand a conservative household where you're told to respect your elders and don't question things. And so I think I understand where you're coming from, but at the end of the day, she's your sister and just have a conversation with her. It doesn't have to be like you saying, you're a liberal, I'm liberal, let's do liberal things. It's just having a conversation. I think right now what's missing is the friendship. So I think if you can cultivate a friendship with your sister first, then the other things will naturally come.
Spot on. Everything you said. Hell yeah. Wishing you guys the best of luck and wishing your family and your other sister enlightenment.
Time for Don't Blame Them.
Ooh, don't blame them. Hell yeah. What is this from? I mean, it's from what episodes are from?
So the original call was from season 6, episode 14. And the gal that originally called was talking about how she's been in a relationship for years and she wants to get married, but her boyfriend isn't making moves that way. And then here's somebody calling with similar experience.
Oh, no.
Hi, Megan and Melissa. I'm calling in as a response to the girl who didn't want to feel desperate about wanting to get engaged or married. I was in a very similar situation. My boyfriend and I had been dating for at least 8 years, but we started dating like in high school and then dated through college. And at the end of that 8-year engagement or dating relationship, I was very ready to get engaged. But it was kind of like he kept pushing it off and I didn't know when it was coming. And it was really just like a weird time. We're now married and I have since kind of talked to him about it and asked him what took him so long. And basically what I got out of it is that he was viewing it as like, it was a partnership. And if he wasn't 100% ready to commit or, ready to get into a marriage, then he wasn't going to do it. And I'm thankful for that because I would rather him have waited than to jump into it before he was ready, just because he knew that I was ready, or he knew that people around me, as in my family and friends, were ready for us to get married. So that's the first thing. And as far as feeling desperate, I feel like that, looking back, that feeling came from people around me. Like, I would hear people say, oh, you don't want to sound desperate, and things like that. But talking to my now husband, he never thought that me bringing up the engagement talk or marriage talk was desperate. If anything, it made him feel more comfortable in the fact that he knew that I was ready to get married too. So if you two are very comfortable with each other, it shouldn't be an issue of him thinking that you're desperate. I would just really try to block out your family and friends around you who are, you know, saying things like you don't want to sound desperate. So hopefully that advice helps. I don't even know if this will get put on air, but I've been in that situation and I know it's really tough, but just stick it out. And if you know that this is the person that you want to spend the rest of your life with, it's worth it to just stick it out. Thanks.
I think this is great advice for some people, but I also think, you know, we all have that story about someone who stays in a relationship for, like, I just like, for a blanket statement for everybody. Like, it either goes one of two ways. It's like people are like, oh my God, maybe he's going to propose to you tomorrow. Like, that's why he's being weird and secretive. I'm like, okay, well, he's either being weird and secretive because he's going to propose to you tomorrow, or he's going to break up with you. So, you know, take that like that. There's always those different options. And like she said, you have to go based on your own instinct, not what anyone else around you is saying. We can get influenced by that very, mm-hmm. very easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, just go with your gut. If you don't feel like you're being desperate, you're just having conversations with him, then that's what's happening. That's it.
People should just be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I ask Mons all the time. I'm like, when are you putting a baby in me? And he's like, not now. And he's like, unless, like, do you really want that? And then he'll psych me out. Reverse psychology. yeah.
Yeah, we gotta make our movie first before you get knocked up.
Okay, guys, that is it for our episode. We hope you enjoyed. If you want to call in for an upcoming one, you can leave us a voicemail at 310-694-0976. And international listeners, you can send us an audio message at meganpodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on the socials, Don't Bomb Meme Pod over on Instagram, and then our own personal Twitter, Instagram. Mm-hmm. And if you would like to listen ad-free, Stitcher Premium. And if you want to join our Patreon, we would love it. Come join the fam. We would love to have you. We do live streams twice a month. Very fun. Lots of things. It's a good time. It's a good community. And then we also have all of our video versions there. So it would really help us continue to make this current podcast that you're listening to. So we would love if you joined us there.
Please do.
Please do. Please do. Please. Please do. Or we'll start a GoFundMe.
Mm-hmm. That's like less. We're shutting down before we start a GoFundMe.
100%. So please, please, please let us not do that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we'll see you guys next time.
Goodbye.
Bye. Don't Blame Me is a production by me, executive produced by Melissa DeMonts, edited by Katrina Henning, and music by Ryan Hunter and Giacomo Picasso.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.